Hello, and welcome to An Aromatic Life. Ooh, do I have a juicy conversation for you today? In this episode, I'm talking with the incomparable perfumer, Candace Winrow Wakely, and she has a few thoughts. She and I got together a few months back and found ourselves diving deep into all kinds of topics around perfumery, and more specifically, artisan perfumery. Not only was it great to share perspectives, but really what was refreshing was that our chat got us thinking about things in new ways, which felt really good. So I invited her on so you can hear some of her thoughts and get some new perspectives too. We talk about why she believes people wear perfume and why most people aren't well educated about perfumery. We also talk about our mutual disdain for flankers, the genderization of fragrances, and those dreaded notes lists. Oh yeah, she's got some thoughts on that. But Candace also shares what she believes artisan perfumery, don't call it indie perfumery, what artisan perfumery brings to the conversation and why they deserve a seat at the table. Oh, there's so much more. But let me tell you a little bit about my guest. Candace Winrow Wakely is a corporate floral designer and artisan perfumer from the San Francisco Bay Area. Her brand Studio Scent was founded in 2011 with its first collection launched in 2022. Featuring creatively designed perfume and interior fragrances, the house combines both a classic and timeless perspective with modern olfactory profiles. Evoking Candace's ethos of beautiful things, the meaning of which, by the way, we talk about in this conversation, the DNA and style of her fragrances is not one genre focused, but rather is fluid and evolving. Her collections explore the boundless expression of all gender universal fragrance that speaks to lovers of beautiful scents and are based on uncompromising quality. Candace is all that her fragrances represent, and I'm so glad you're here. Let's get started. Enjoy my conversation with Candace Winrow Wakely. This is An Aromatic Life, the podcast that aims to shed light on our beautiful sense of smell and increase its profile in a culture dominated by sight and sound. My name is Frauke Gallia. I'm a certified aromatherapist and smell coach who spent over 20 years in and around the fragrance industry. What I know for sure after all these years is that our sense of smell is powerful, yet is so underappreciated. There's so much we can do to harness our sense of smell to be well. So join me as I explore this mesmerizing scent from all different angles and learn what it can do for you. Enjoy the show. I want to welcome you to An Aromatic Life, Candace. Thank you so much for coming.
I have been looking forward to this for a very long time. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. You and I had a coffee, I don't know, a few months ago, and
yeah,
we're chatting about our favorite subject, perfumery, and how much it's changed.
Yes.
Over the years.
Lots of changes.
Yeah.
Good and bad.
Right, right. And I was like, well, Candace is a perfumer. I love perfumery. And I've got a podcast. Let's have a conversation about that, because we did talk a little bit about things, but I think you have a lot of thoughts about
the
subject. Before we get into all that, do you like to start by asking my guests a simple question? What does the sense of smell mean to you, Candace?
That was a very hard question.
Not simple, huh?
Not simple, but I like to eat, mm-hmm. and like most people, and sense of smell is very key to enjoying food. Without it, food is not enjoyable. And that was impressed upon me by hearing a lot of people who are anosmic talk about food and how they deal with it. So I really, really understand now that the two go hand in hand. And I would say smell is the color of life.
Yeah. It's really beautiful, because I couldn't agree with you more. And food is just, we eat every day, right?
So right.
Food is such a big part of our life. And then that means sense of smell is a big part of our life. And like you said, if people who have anosmia who don't have their sense of smell, that is a big piece that's missing then in their eating experience. So yeah,
definitely.
It's very true. It's very true. So I want to get to know little Candace, if you don't mind. I just had a quick question for you.
Little Candace.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to ask you, were you somebody as a child, were you somebody who connected with smelling a lot, or was it something you connected to or not really, would you say?
I would say no, not as much as I do now. Funny thing, my dad was the type of person when it came to food, he'd smell everything, especially with stuff he wasn't familiar with before he put it in his mouth. I always thought that was a very strange, curious behavior. But I avoided, like a lot of kids, bad smells, you know, things that didn't smell good, smell of decay, fecal smells, rot, things like that. And fruity smells. I'm not a fruit eater. I don't like fruit. Unless it's citrus.
Okay.
But I love citrus. I love the tanginess of citrus. I love the smell of citrus. And I still do to this day. But a smell, you know, I love the smell of cookies baking because I did that a lot with my mother. Cooking, here we go, food, you know. Food is a big thing with me.
Yeah. To be fair, and I've said this on the podcast before, I wasn't a smeller either when I was young. I call it a smeller, being a smeller. Mm-hmm. But it's an identity. Are you somebody who actively smells or not? And that's why I'm trying to get people to have the identity of being
exactly. I think that is something that we're not taught that smell is important as taste, sight, and sound. And so it's kind of hard to, when you're asked that question, to go, oh, yeah, I noticed this smell. And not really, because we're not taught that, that it's important.
Exactly.
Hopefully the next generation will be taught something different.
Yeah, but it'll be up to all of us here listening to help with that. Because
that's true.
It doesn't seem to be happening in the schools, I can tell you that.
Yeah, and don't just keep your nose turned on for fragrance. Keep your nose turned on for everything.
For life.
For life, definitely.
That's my new slogan, or our
smell
slogan.
Life.
Your nose turned on
for life. That's right.
Love it. I love it.
Definitely.
Can you remember your first perfume?
I most certainly can. I studied ballet for, I would say, from the age of 10 to high school. And it was such a romantic time for me. And my favorite first perfume was a perfume called Pavlova by Peyo Perry. And it's this beautiful, very beautiful floral perfume. It was actually inspired by the Russian ballerina Anna Pavlova. And the bottle was a frosted bottle with sort of like a bas-relief design of a swan, because she was known for a ballet called The Dying Swan.
Okay.
And the whole bottle had that design on it, and it's in black letters, and it has sort of like a ring of roses, pink ring of roses. And it was a very floral perfume. I don't know if it was a Chypre or not, but you can still get it. It's been reformulated, but you can still get it. You can still get vintage versions of it from certain places. But it was just such a beautiful perfume that reminded me everything that I loved, the ballet, the grace, the stories, the blush point shoes when I started dancing on point. All of that. And every time I smell that perfume, it takes me back to my days as a budding ballet student.
Oh, how nice. I love that.
Yeah.
It sounds like I didn't even know about your ballet beginning.
Yeah.
That's so nice. But it seems like you always, I'm just guessing based on your career, but you are a creative person.
Yes.
Like your soul is creative. I believe every person is creative. I'm not going to say that.
Yes, yes.
Nobody,
but creative energy is something that I've learned is something that we all have, but we have to tap into it.
Right, right.
And it has to be honed and you have to maintain it. A lot of people say they're not creative. That just means they haven't tapped into that energy.
Right, right. I agree. Did you start as a dessert chef then?
That was the first thing I did.
Okay.
I started that at the age of 23. I went to culinary school. I've always baked and everything, but I decided that, you know, I really want to study this and really do go a deep dive. So I went to the California Culinary Academy, as it was then. It's, I think, part of Le Cordon Bleu now. And I took a 10-month to a year baking and pastry program. And I had every intention to be a restaurant pastry chef. But somehow along the line, I became a wedding cake designer. One of our exams was to create a full-size wedding cake from start to finish. And I thought, let's give this a shot. And I designed my own. Other people were like using inspirations from cookbooks and things like that. I designed my own, and then I was hooked. And so not only did I make one, I made three. And that's from culinary school. I went straight into the business for myself.
Okay.
A trial by fire. Yeah. Yes. Yes. I don't recommend that. I recommend that you work for people first, but I learned. I succeeded.
You did it. Yes.
I did it. Yeah. Yeah.
Good, good, good.
Interesting thing about being a dessert chef and working on your own is you tend to not want to eat sweets all the time. A lot of people ask me, well, at the time I used to be really, really thin, and they would ask me, how do you stay so thin and you do what you do? I'm like, I don't eat this stuff. I taste it, but you get to a point where I call it the McDonald's effect. If you work at McDonald's, you get tired of eating the Big Macs and the French fries.
Sure, it's the same thing.
Exactly. It's the same thing. Now that I don't do it anymore, I'm always eating sweets. Go figure.
Well, the two interesting things I think of when you're, you know, you start as a pastry chef or dessert chef, I should say, right? Difference, I guess.
There is a little bit of a difference, yes.
It's about ingredients.
It's all about ingredients.
And blending, putting things together. It's about the aesthetic as well.
Definitely. And that's how I could parlay that into perfumery. Because with me, I was all about using very, very high quality ingredients.
Okay.
And I'm like that with perfumery.
Yeah.
And also with these ingredients and being in the culinary world, you have to understand their properties, what they can do. When you get them, how you can enhance them. It's the same thing with perfumery.
Yeah.
And then, of course, if you are working for yourself, as I was, you have formulas that you create on your own, because I learned quickly that a lot of recipes are not very well tested.
Yes.
And you want consistency. And it's the same thing with perfumery. When you start to scale up batches, you need consistency. So, and I am something of a control freak, so I have to, I have to be in control of the ingredients. I have to, when I was a dessert chef, I made everything from scratch. So I could have that quality control.
Yeah.
And I find myself doing that with perfumery as well. There's lots of bases you can buy in perfumery, just like there's a lot of bases you can buy in cooking and baking. But I have to be in control, because I know how I want things to be. And you never know when things are going to be changed or tweaked or anything. And that could affect whatever it is you're doing. But if you're doing everything from scratch, if you're making your own accords from scratch, then you are in control. And that's why it's so important to work with raw materials and not nasty things like fragrance oils and things like that.
I mean, I would say even beyond control, what I'm hearing is that you just want authenticity and transparency. Because you're buying things that are a base or already combined for you, you can't be sure of exactly what's in there. They might tell you, but you know.
It's someone else's work. It's someone else's interpretation.
True.
It is someone else's sense of smell.
Yes.
And it's also how you develop a style and your own signature,
yeah,
which is very important to me. It's not enough for me to make perfumery. And I am a total self-taught autodidact perfumer. I never studied with anyone anywhere. I never even asked anyone for advice.
Wow.
Because I wanted to make my perfume. So yes, there was a lot of trial and error.
Yes.
But I was up for that. And I knew it was going to take a lot of time. I was mm-hmm. up for that because I wanted to make my perfumes, not someone else's. Because when you do study anything creative under someone else, you do get imprinted with their style. Yeah. And I had already gone to culinary school. And then later with floral design, I studied with a couple of prominent florists in London and did a little bit in Holland and Paris, but mostly London. And I did get imprinted with their styles. With perfumery, I did not want to do that.
Interesting.
So I just went head first, and the rest, as I say, is history.
So that tells me something about you, that you have a level of confidence, because I'm going to argue that people who want to study forever, this is just a generalization. And
yeah.
But do you know what I mean? That feeling?
Yeah.
I'm just going to learn, but you got some point. You got to actually do, right?
That's
learn
the problem.
By doing
yes,
feeling and experiencing it, and having the failures, and then being like, "Oh, I've learned from those failures." But having the confidence to
yes,
go continue.
I have the confidence now.
Okay.
I didn't always have it.
No,
because I am something of a perfectionist too, which is not a good thing to do. I mean, it helps with the quality, but you can be a perfectionist to the point where you never get anything done. And I found myself, because it took me, I established Studio Scent in 2011, but I didn't launch the collection until 2022. And it kind of got to the point where people were saying, you're going to do that thing or not? You know, how many times are you going to refine? And you know, and then you catch yourself and you go, you know, all this tweaking, refining, hiding behind quality is kind of looking like an excuse not to really let this go and launch this.
Okay.
So it was such a learning process.
Thank you for being honest, because a lot of people might not be that honest and say, no, I just came up with this a year ago and I've just launched it. You know, I mean,
there's a lot of people have done that. I've smelled their work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It takes time.
It does. I agree. Now, in that little conversation we just had, you mentioned about being a floral designer. So I do want to touch on that before we get into perfumery, because I think that also informs your work as a perfumer.
Yes. The funny thing about that, and I get that all the time, people say, oh, that goes hand in hand. You're working with flowers all the time. And the ironic thing about being a floral designer is that I work with a lot of flowers that are not scented.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah.
Yes, because scented flowers typically have, at least the commercial flowers that you buy, they have a shorter vase life if
That's
they're
true.
Scented. So they've bred out all of the scent with a lot of flowers for longevity, because it's like produce. They cut them at a certain, you know, when they're this color or when they're green, and let them ripen up, and, you know, so they can last. But there are some flowers that will always be, you know, scented regardless, you know, lilies and some roses and things like that.
Okay.
But I do find it very advantageous to be a floral designer, simply because I think you get a true sense of what flowers actually smell like. Now, we have the synthetic versions in perfumery, and there are just some flowers that I smell, and it's like, this does not smell like tuberose at all. I mean, they're missing all these nuances.
Yeah.
This does not smell like lilac or, you know, now I get really further down the rabbit hole and, you know, a rose doesn't smell like a rose. Red roses smell different from pink, smell different from white, yellow. And I can detect all of those nuances, but there are just some things, it's like, especially flowers that don't typically have a smell, like peonies.
Yes.
I mean, there's a couple of varieties that have smells. They just get it so wrong. And yeah. So that's what I like about being a floral designer and a perfumer, is that I can maybe bring to people more of a true, as true as it can be, as right. I can do it, idea of what things smell like.
Right, right.
And hopefully, you know, more and more artisan perfumers will be able to do that.
Yeah, yeah. Now, are you in floral designing, are you visually blending?
Yes. There's a lot of visual blending, especially when I'm stuck and don't know what to do. I'm very good with color. Color is my strong point.
Okay.
And then when I'm doing a composition, I'm thinking about the container, I'm thinking about the color, and then I'm thinking about the texture.
Yes. I
was gonna all say the time.
Too. Yeah.
Thinking about who the client is and what the event is.
Right.
Because I'm not a wedding florist. Okay. I don't really do many weddings. I'm mostly corporate. So I have a lot of leeway into what I do.
that's nice.
And
you have to
that's
about
good.
The space too, right? The space.
I have to think about the space, but I'm also thinking about the feeling.
Yeah.
What do people want to feel?
Yeah.
Because a lot of times I'm also called on to consult with color schemes and linens and tableware and lighting. And it's kind of like, okay, what is the goal of this company? What kind of meeting is it? What kind of dinner is it? How do they want to feel when they come in?
Nice.
And I can't always incorporate scented flowers because that kind of messes about with the taste. If there's really strong flowers on the table, then that messes with the wine and the food. And also a lot of people have allergies. And that's one of the first things people say, no scented flowers on the table. So I'm like, all right. So
this
I might want
to,
I yeah. might put them in the bathroom or something like that. Put a bunch of hyacinths in the bathroom or something.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah. It's amazing how little people want scent around them.
I think people are kind of schizo. I don't know what they want, really. I think
they say they don't want it, but they do.
They want it, but they do, but then they don't. I don't know. But typically around food, it really can interfere with the taste. I have a friend who's a sommelier, and she definitely does not want scent of any kind in her tasting room or when she's doing tastings.
Yes.
Because you're smelling the wine and you need to be able to smell effectively and focus on that.
That's very true. So when we were having our coffee, we were talking about creativity and perfumery and all things beautiful. So I wanted to ask you a little bit about what those words mean to you. So if you don't mind, I'm just curious, what does creation mean to you?
I have always considered myself more of a creator than a consumer. In fact, I mean, I'm a consumer, you know, like everybody else.
Right, right.
But I just have this thing about making things. I mean, when it comes to cooking, for instance, a lot of things that people buy, I make. I make my own sauces. I make my own salad dressings. I like to make things from scratch.
Yeah.
Creation is my purpose, and I just get into it, and I don't care how much time it takes a lot of times. Maybe that's the control thing about me. I don't know, but it's just, I derive so much joy from putting together something and then seeing it come to fruition just by using raw materials.
I think you're an alchemist too. You're like a chemist.
Alchemy.
In a way. Yeah. You're kind of like, I want to see what happens when this and this come together.
And I do have that, but part of me is like, well, let me just try to manipulate this way. But
that's that control part. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
But I also think creation is curiosity.
Definitely curiosity. And I've never seen it that way. But if I were to be honest with myself, yes, I'm very curious about a great many things. Sometimes I just don't want to expend the energy to really delve into it. But I do it by default, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, you'll find something interesting if you're walking somewhere and be like, oh, or if you're in a restaurant.
All the time.
Somebody's using an ingredient and you're like, ah, that's interesting that they put
all
that
the time.
That.
Yeah. I'm very detail oriented. Mm-hmm. I tend to see things I don't always want to see. I see things that a lot of people don't see, mm-hmm. but that's what I'm paid to do. I'm paid to stress and focus on the details.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
That's the event business.
Right. So then tell me, what does beautiful things, what does that mean to you?
Pretty much the same thing. Beauty is very essential to being human. Nature, for example, is full of beautiful things, but I don't know if animals appreciate beauty the way we do. They definitely use it for procreation, to attract a mate, to hide, to protect themselves. I don't think they understand that whilst they're protecting themselves through camouflaging on a leaf, they're being very beautiful while they're doing it. Humans are the only ones, I think, that use it to enhance our lives. And I think it's something that we all need. I don't think
it's about feeling again, if you ask me.
It's about feeling.
It's about feeling.
Yes. Yes.
Emotion. It's about, yeah. And we are emotional humans, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
We are. And the great thing about beauty is that it is not limited to sight. Smell is definitely there. Sound, feeling. So even if...
It's all of it. Yeah.
It's all of it. And if you lack a sense like sight or sound, you can still experience beauty. And that's just a really lovely thing to me.
Yeah, I agree. On that note, then, let's take beauty into perfumery, because I think you and I both think perfumery is quite beautiful, right?
Oh, it's absolutely gorgeous. It is one of the things that makes us human. Again, animals have their way of doing things, but humans create smells. The ability to do that is just an amazing thing.
Yeah.
That's and
a beautiful thing.
Yes. And that's partially why I decided to do this. It's just an extension of me trying to bring a little beauty into the world.
Yeah. Well, you do with your perfumes.
Thank you.
Talk about. But I wanted to ask you, so how did you even get into perfumery? You said you were self-taught, but, you know, did you just come across something? You were telling me it was a candle, wasn't it?
Yes. I wanted a candle line for my flower business and couldn't really go the private label route because the resources just weren't there. And so I decided to do it myself. And, you know, I got a bunch of fragrance oils and essential oils and just started blending. Mm-hmm. And they were nice. People liked them. I sold a few, but they weren't good enough for me. Okay. And they just didn't have that perfume quality that I experienced with other brands. And then it hit me. I needed to learn how to make perfume if I wanted that perfume quality.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you are creating fragrances with pre-made fragrance oils or multi-purpose, multi-platform fragrance oils, you're just blending. You are making new smells, but you're not really creating anything from scratch. And so I needed to learn how to manipulate the raw ingredients to make that perfume. So I stopped making candles and just got on the path to making perfume, learning how to make perfume.
I wanted to ask you about consumer behavior around perfume before we get into the fragrance line that you have.
Sure, but sure.
Just some general thoughts about perfumery as such. And I'm just curious why you believe people wear perfume, based on what you're observing. Why do you think people wear perfume?
Aside from it being very beautiful, there's all sorts of reasons. And I learned a lot about this by observing the fragrance community.
Yeah.
You have your people who really love perfume, but they love olfaction in general, and they're always open to olfaction. And then you've got people who come to the community for just that community. And some people, I believe it, my observation is that it's something of a bandwagon. So they want to have all the popular perfumes. And that leads me into this lovely thing that we have as humans call ego. Sometimes it's about the ego. Some people wear perfume because they want compliments. Because we all, as humans, we want to be seen. We want to be valid. We want attention. Mm-hmm. And perfume is a great way to get attention, although that's trying to get attention is not the reason I would recommend for wearing perfume. But yeah, I mean, people have all their reasons. And sure. I try to find out when I talk to people, well, why are you doing this? You know, that's a question I have for content creators. Why are you doing what you're doing? And I'm genuinely interested because when I first learned that people were doing this, going on YouTube and reviewing perfumes, I really thought it was a little strange. But I'm a little strange. And I jump on bandwagons very, very late, or discover things very, very late, you know, long after they've been popular. But I am very curious, you know, why would you even do this? And then I came to the conclusion that people are basically just sharing what they love. And I would like to think that is the driving force for people wearing perfume. It's something that they can ultimately share with someone else or a group of people.
It's like a form of communication.
It definitely is a form of communication.
Right?
Because a perfume can say a lot.
About you.
About you. And yeah, definitely a lot about you, and you don't have to say anything.
Yeah. I would, you know, I used to work in the perfume industry, so I kind of always was paying attention to what consumer behavior was going on. And I think for a long time, and I think that's how perfumery started, was modern perfumery, I should say, how it started was about attracting others and that old way of how you're looking. And I think that's changed a lot, quite honestly. I mean, I think that's still there, but I think a lot of people are wearing perfume now for themselves.
Yes. Definitely. But I don't think that will go away, the attracting.
No,
I think
it's been around too long.
It's been around too long. And a lot of brands, that's unfortunately all they have. But there's nothing wrong with wanting to be attractive.
Oh, absolutely.
There's nothing wrong with that. And perfume is a great way to do it.
Yeah, I agree. And then in your experience, do you think people are confused about what to choose? Do you think people are well-educated about perfumery?
No.
No, I don't think so either.
No. There's a lot of noise out there.
Yeah.
Everybody telling them what to do. Everybody giving their opinions that are disguised as fact. But they are opinions. And they should say that.
They should start with, this is my opinion.
They should start with that. But I think there's too much information out there because of the internet. I remember back to when I started wearing perfume in the 80s. We didn't have all these things. We were buying perfume based on popularity or the ad campaign, or if we wandered into a department store and we smelled it and we liked it.
Yeah.
You know, we weren't talking about notes and stripping down perfumes to a collection of notes. We were wearing them because it was trendy or our favorite celebrity wore it, and it was different. Now people have way too much information and they don't know what to do with it, to the point where they're buying molecules just so they can try to isolate it in perfumery. And it's like, okay, if you're not planning to learn how to be a perfumer, and you bought this collection of stuff, now what? What are you going to do with that?
Yeah.
And not only that, they're not using them well. They're not evaluating these things properly. Mm-hmm. You know, you cannot learn perfume notes or ingredients just by smelling finished compositions. No. And you certainly can't understand a molecule's characteristics smelling it neat.
Right.
You have to evaluate it in dilution.
Yeah.
many delusions. It's not as simple as some people want to make it seem.
Well, because we want everything real fast.
That's it. That's it. And good perfume takes time.
Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah.
And that's another problem with the industry. Years ago, perfumers had a lot more autonomy than they did. They could take their time. Now, they don't have that power anymore.
No.
It's the marketing department that has the power. That's why we have so many damn flankers.
Right.
Sorry.
Flanker. I'm like, really? Do we need another
version of this version?
Yeah.
Why does Shalimar have, what, 15 flankers or however many it is?
I don't even
the
know.
The first one was fine.
Yes.
I mean.
And it just gives you a tiny bit of incremental sales. And, you know, there's no creativity in that as far as I'm concerned.
Well, the interesting thing is I listened to many years ago. Well, it wasn't that long ago. It was maybe 4 years ago. A interview by Thierry Vasseur of Guerlain. And he basically said that flankers, it's the department stores.
They want,
that are driving it because they want something new. They want to continue to push new things to their
But they're too nervous
customers.
About something completely new and different. They need something
exactly.
safe. They need
exactly.
Safety
and flankers are safe.
Yeah.
And I think people are getting tired of safe.
Yeah.
You know?
But it's a good thing.
It's a very good thing. Yeah. And I think that's why artisan perfumery has a real shot to change the industry and make a difference because we're not safe and we don't worry about it.
Right, right. Let's talk about artisan perfumery then. So in your mind, because some people call it indie perfumery, right? Instead of artisan perfumery, but for you, it's artisan perfumery, right?
I call it artisan niche perfumery. I don't like the term indie, and that's just my thing. It just sounds like a slight. You know, like, oh, those indie perfumers, you know, that work at their kitchen tables and make this crap, you know.
Yeah.
It just sounds like a slight.
Yeah.
But I think we have proved that we have a lot to say and we deserve a space at the table. We deserve a seat at the table. We are very creative simply because we work on our own. We only have to answer to our own idiosyncrasies.
Yeah.
And then that way we can do work that's so much more personal and so much more beautiful.
I agree. I mean, I think that artisan perfumery has come a long way.
It has come a long way.
And it's thriving here on the West Coast. Always has. I feel like it's one of those West Coast things that.
Yeah.
I mean, well, people are everywhere.
We're here. We're the Wild West. You know, we can get away with using things that other people can't. How long? I don't know. Not for too long. And some people just flout IFRA regulations.
Oh, yeah.
But there's room for all of this. And that's one of the things that's changing about the industry. And I think we're going to change the industry. And we're going to change it for the better.
Or do you think you already are?
Perfumery, mainstream perfumery, has a lot of old rules. And
yeah,
I think
they're paying attention. I think they're nervous too. Like, I think you're already starting to change things.
Oh, yes. I mean, there's great things happening to a few artisan brands. They are becoming more and more recognized in the mainstream. And I'm very happy to see that. Brands like Imaginary Authors, DS and Durga, to name a couple, they're doing extremely well. They are doing major campaigns and collaborations and being acquired by venture capital companies. So they're getting more money infused to put their stuff out there. And that is something that wasn't expected, or people didn't think that was possible with artisan perfumery, but it's giving me a lot of hope.
Yeah.
That it's no longer going to be the exception, but maybe someday the rule.
Yeah.
And people will consider it, and it won't be this niche thing.
Yeah.
It'll be right up there with the greats.
Why not?
Why not?
There are more outlets now. It's not just, like you said, having to go to the department store.
Right, right. You know, now, I don't know if department stores will ever pick them up.
Maybe that's okay.
I mean, I'm not sure what's happening with department stores. You know? I don't know. Department stores in the United States, they're kind of a dying breed.
They are. They really are. I mean, I would argue, though, I still feel like we need to experience the perfume before we commit to a big bottle.
Definitely.
If people just buy blind, that's...
Never buy blind. Yeah. Never buy blind. Yeah. Never. And that's the great thing about the internet and smaller brands that offer discovery sets.
Yes.
Always buy a discovery set if you can't go in and smell it.
Right.
Now, the idea of the discovery set way back when, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, nobody was doing that.
No.
Because you could just walk in and smell it. Yeah. Just walk into your department
Macy's
store.
Or wherever.
Macy's or a drugstore, if it was that kind of a brand, and smell it. But I think people like the idea of discovery sets, especially the ones that have these magpie collector tendencies.
Yeah. Well, I think everybody who's listening should... I am going to plug your perfumes because I think you have one of the most, I mean it, you have one of the most beautiful packages for...
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Discovery set. So I have a lot of different discovery sets, and that one is a very beautiful one. So
thank you.
Say that.
Thank you.
Let me just ask you another thing about the artisan perfume community. So what do you believe the artisan perfume community adds to the conversation?
It adds diversity. Okay. It adds inclusion.
Okay.
It adds a lot of creativity, boundless creativity. Okay. It adds more stories because people like stories with perfume. It may even evolve into creating other perfume genres, you know.
Sure.
Simply because we're crazy enough to do something like that.
Well, you don't have that restriction or that safety that big brands have. Yeah.
Right, right. Yeah. And we add everything. We are the breath of fresh air that the fragrance community as a whole, or the fragrance buying public, wants, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
No, I couldn't agree more. Tell me more about what you mean by diversity, diversity in thought, diversity in...
Diversity of opinions, styles, people, compositions, everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
Perfumery now is heavily rooted in the French tradition. Mm-hmm. I have absolutely no problem with that, but I don't think people want that exclusively.
Right.
I think there are people who are in different cultures want to showcase their culture through scent.
Which I love. I think that's,
yes,
that's one of the biggest things that's come out that I love.
And I've been curious about different cultures outside of the French model.
Yeah.
What is their scent tradition? And I would like to experience, you know, if there's a particular country who has perfumery, I want to smell it according to that country, not something that they hired a Givaudan perfumer to do.
Right, right.
And this is what the artisan space can do.
Yeah, yeah. It's absolutely true. It's like you're removing the filter, because usually there's always a filter, right? Or a lens, a particular lens.
Exactly. And the world is changing. I mean, it was changing pre-COVID and it will continue to change. Yeah. The next generations, they really want to break out of the mold and do their own thing and express themselves in ways that might seem strange or foreign to the previous generations, but it's necessary.
Right.
And everything is going to have to evolve to another level of consciousness to keep up,
right?
I believe, with these people. And perfume is no exception. And that's why gender neutrality fragrance is necessary. Because that's the way it was you know, back in what, the 18th century?
That's where we started.
That's where we started. Everybody wore everything. And it wasn't until, what, World War One?
Yes.
That
right
thing
after
started.
World War One. Yeah.
Started getting gendered. Yeah. Kind of like the whole pink is for girls, blue is for boys sort of ridiculousness. I like pink, but I ain't wearing it. I love blue.
And many men, I mean, there's soccer teams out there that have pink.
Just things, sounds, smells, sights, touches, the five senses, all those things don't have a gender attached to them or assigned to them. So why are we assigning perfume? Mm-hmm. And the only reason why they're doing that is that it's for economics.
Yeah.
But you can make more money if you make a perfume that anybody and everybody can wear.
Yeah.
And I think the industry is starting to figure that out, which is a good thing.
Yeah, I want to blame the stores for also adding to that, because anything I buy, it drives me nuts now, because just on a tangent, but, you know, if I go look for a body wash, because I have two grown boys, sometimes I'm like, oh, mom, can you get me a body wash? And I'm like, okay. I love going in the men's section. And I'm like,
yes,
I will totally shower with this scent. And, you know, like,
yes,
why is there still a men's section and a women's? You know, like, you could just make a general body wash section. It doesn't have to be gender.
I think in the next 10, 15 years, you'll see. That's going to change. It's going to have to. Because there are people who don't want to identify as either.
Right.
They just want to identify as human. You know?
What a concept, right?
At what point do we become human? We're not identifying through color or gender, sex, whatever. We're just human.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to that day. I don't know if it'll happen in my lifetime, but I live in hope.
We can dream, can't we?
Heavily. We'll try to manifest it.
Yes, I agree with you completely, because it's just, we're humans. We all have our own scent journey.
Yes.
You know, through our sense of smell, our own scent experiences. And that's the beauty of it.
Yes.
We're always told what things should smell like and what you should like. And instead of just
there's
going
a lot
with your
of
own
that.
Intuition. Yeah.
And I really do recommend that people turn off the noise and just follow your nose. You know, I understand the content creators and I understand what they're trying to do, but you will enjoy yourself a lot better if you follow your nose. Don't worry about a notes list.
Could we talk about that too?
Please, let's talk about notes. Because I know a lot of people are probably wondering, she's always talking about notes and the ingredients not being the same. What the hell is she talking about?
Please, go ahead. Tell me what that is.
A notes list is designed to give you an idea of what the perfume is like, what kind of perfume it is. It's not necessarily to tell you what's in it, because...
Is it more of an impression, would you say?
I would say it's more of an impression. It's more of... Notes are just descriptors of scent. That's all. You know, if you see a lot of florals in a perfume, then okay, it's a floral type perfume. If you see lots of citruses listed, if you see an amalgamation of things, then you really need to smell it. But what a lot of people don't understand is what I've learned as a creator, and I'm sure a lot of artisans have learned, is that you can put any number of ingredients together. They are all not going to stay fixed in their smells. They're going to get cozy and meld together and turn into a totally different smell. And now there are some that are very strong and they'll punch through and hold steady.
Strong personalities.
Yeah. Exactly. But it is that new smell that really should be part of the notes. You're not, if you see a bunch of stuff listed, chances are it's not really gonna smell the way you think it's gonna smell. And there's a good to fair chance that you're not gonna smell all of them. But the industry has kind of figured out that a lot of people know a lot about ingredients. They know a lot about different smells. So let's just add some stuff to try to get them to buy it. It's marketing.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
That's all it is. And they also work on the power of the subconscious mind. You tell people stuff and they're going to believe it. Yeah. You know, you tell people that this fragrance has tonka bean and orris in it. And people go, oh, wow, I love tonka bean. I love orris. And they smell it. And they're trying to smell the tonka bean. They're trying to smell the orris, but they really don't. But because they bought this perfume based on those notes, they really want to smell it. So they tell themselves, because the subconscious mind has no choice but to accept what you put in it. That's why affirmations work. You know, that's why mantras work. Things like that. That's why interrogation works. You tell yourself something. You really want to believe it, you will believe it, and it will be true for you.
Yeah.
And that mind game is what the perfume industry does.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where artisans can change that is to really pay a bit more attention in their descriptions of their perfumes. Don't just list a bunch of ingredients. That means absolutely nothing, because you can take three perfumes that have the same notes. Mm-hmm. And they can smell totally different. Exactly. They are not the same perfume. So what I try to do here at Studio Scent is I try to just give people, and I'm going to do this a lot with the next collection, give more of it. This is what kind of perfume it is. Use adjectives and descriptions that are not always connected to smell, especially since I've learned that there are a lot of people with different anosmias that, whilst they can't smell, they still love to wear perfume.
Mm-hmm.
And so they need to know what this perfume is like. So you use different things, different ways of description.
Yeah.
And I, when I'm designing perfumes, I'm not picking my ingredients exclusively for their smells. I'm picking them for their weights, their textures, their synergy, their movement. They're not really, it's not really the sum of their parts,
yeah,
so to speak.
Yeah, yeah.
So I would say, let's not focus on the notes. And I always make people at perfume counters kind of mad because, well, let me tell you what the notes are. I'm like, the notes mean nothing to me. I'll tell you what I smell.
Yeah.
And what? Who is she? And then I have to say, I'm kind of a perfumer. And they're like, oh, okay. And then leave me alone. I mean, I don't want to go in there and say, I'm a perfumer. I know what I'm doing. I, you know, I don't want to do that. I try to be inconspicuous and don't, you know.
Sure.
But yeah, it's just marketing. But we can do a much, much better job of selling perfume and describing it. Yeah. And that's what I aim to do.
A perfume is also, we talked about feeling and all of that. So do you think you have to have notes or ingredients in there? What if you were selling a perfume that gave you no clue except for here's the kind of feeling it's going to evoke? Can you do that?
I would love to do that. But I don't know if people want to go that deep.
Or whether they're going to have that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody responds
differently. And they probably won't, because everybody responds to things differently.
Yeah.
So, but that would be lovely, I think.
Remember, we're going towards this imaginary world, this dream world that we're...
Exactly. Exactly. But it doesn't have to be a dream world. It can be your reality. And that's one of the things with Studio Scent. I could come up with all sorts of blah, blah, blather BS about stories and where it comes from and blah. But I want to hear people's stories. I want people, if you have a great story while wearing Vissoir, I'd like to hear
it. Fragrance, yes.
Which is one of my perfumes.
Yes.
If it's a good memory, because not all fragrances are good memories. I mean, there are some fragrances I smell and I'm like, yeah, that wasn't a good time.
Yeah. And no fault of the perfume maker.
No. It's just that's just what perfume does.
Yes.
But I want people to tell me, you know, this happened when I was wearing Phacelis or by Adair. I want people to pay more attention to the moment where perfume dwells as opposed to being able to strip it down and repeat the notes verbatim. I'm not interested in people who can do that with me. I want you to tell me what you smell.
Yes.
When you are smelling Studio Sense perfume, because the notes that people get just shock and delight me. It's like, really? You get that?
Yeah.
That's just, I just love that.
And that's totally fine, right?
It's not a bad thing. And that's totally fine. And yeah. I mean, there's a follower of mine, speaking of Vissoir, there's a follower of mine, he gets lavender notes. And Vissoir is basically a violet suede. It's a chypre for about 5 seconds. But then it melds into this sweet violet and suede. And he gets lavender notes from that. That blew me away because there's no lavender ingredients in Vissoir. But he gets that when he smells it. And I just think that's a very lovely thing.
I agree. I think that's the nice thing about when you're a creator, to learn from those who are wearing your creations. You know, it's one thing to put something out on your own, right?
Yes.
And I'm sure you have a creative process, which I want to ask you about. But, you know, you put something out, but then half the fun, or maybe more of the fun, is, like you said, understanding how people respond to your creation.
Yes. And that's what I do it for. I'm not doing this for me, because I'm not really, I don't wear a whole lot of perfume. Partly because, you know, I'm always working with it. When I go out, I'll wear it. But it's, I can't wear fragrance to bed like some of these people do. I would never go to sleep. I'm not a heavy consumer. So I am doing this strictly for the public. And I'm in business too.
Right. So, to be fair.
Just to be fair.
Well, let's talk about your perfume line, Studio Scent.
Yes.
Is your brand.
And
tell us about the current line that you have. What is the current line really all about?
The current line is basically me establishing the house with very richly layered perfumes, kind of an homage to the perfumes of the past. But I will like to stress, I am not a vintage fragrance house exclusively. I can do a lot of different styles, and the next collection will definitely showcase that. But this collection, I wanted people to be aware and be able to smell the quality, smell the artistry, smell, as I said, how layered and just beautiful the compositions. And a lot of time went into this. This is the result of the 11 years that went into this. So, and it's 5 fragrances. They're all very different. And that's something that people will see from Studio Scent. I go to great pains not to reproduce smells or have similar fragrances that smell the same, which can happen with artisans. Each of these fragrances were done at different times during that whole period. They weren't just done one after the other.
Right.
I may have done 2 and then took a 2-year break and then come up with others. I mean, there were many fragrances created, but these 5 made the cut.
Right.
And lots of trial and error and tweaks.
Right.
And reformulations. And yes,
when you
a lot of work.
Let them sit and macerate for a while. I think
they have to
realize that they need
maturation and maceration. You have to do it.
Yes.
You know, I've seen people come up with a fully fledged fragrance in 2 weeks. Like, nah, no.
Let's see how that does in a year from now.
Yeah, yeah. Give it the time.
Yeah.
I mean, anything worth doing is worth taking the time. If you've ever had really good wine. Cheese, here I am thinking about my stomach. It's true.
Yeah.
Time is beautiful.
Yeah.
And you have to believe you have the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And make the time. It's got to be
make
a priority.
Make the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So tell me about your creative process then. Do you have a particular one or do you not? Would you say you do?
It varies. It starts with an idea. And usually that could be anything. It could be something I see, something I feel. It could be a song or a sound. It could be a textile. It could be something I'm eating, although I'm not much into gourmands, so I don't do gourmands very well. I don't like them. I'll just say that. I don't like them.
You leave
them.
That to baking.
I'll leave that to baking. Though somebody did say, you should do gourmands because you bake. And no. Anyway, once I've got the idea, then I instantly start thinking about the ingredients. And then if there are ingredients that I haven't smelled in a while, I'm doing evaluations. I've got a notebook of all the evaluations that I do. And I go back to that notebook and then I pull them out and I evaluate them again. I do other types of concentrations. If I do just 10% or 5%, then we'll try something else. Mm-hmm. And then I decide, okay, well, what kind of fragrance do I want this to be? And then I'll start blending. And that whole process starts of starting with a mod, then going into a fully fledged perfume. And if it makes the cut, then I do some testing. And I'm testing on skin, I'm testing in hair, I'm testing on textiles and fabrics. And what I am looking for is the dominant notes from strip to skin to textiles, hair. If a certain number of notes is constant, then that is the notes list.
Okay. Interesting. I like
yes.
that.
Yes. So the notes list is usually the last thing that gets written.
Right. Because you have to right now because we're not living in our dream world yet.
Exactly. Exactly. Dream world. So then again, you know, I could sit on something for a long time before I actually go to the lab stage. Mm-hmm. I could be thinking about ingredients for a long time. I may have to take a walk somewhere. Or if I'm reading a book, I could be thinking about, I'm always thinking about ingredients.
Yeah.
Ingredients are everything.
Yeah.
And then I'll probably have to buy some new ingredients. There's a lot of that. So the process, it varies, but that's the best part.
So what do you hope people will feel when they wear your perfumes?
I hope they have very good vibrations. I hope it elevates their vibrations. I hope they feel good. I hope they have good memories. I hope good things are happening to them when they're wearing the fragrances. I hope it inspires them to become creative in whatever it is. I just hope for good things. I hope for beauty and
beautiful things as we talk.
Beautiful things. Beautiful things. That's why I'm here.
I love it.
That's what I do. There are some people who think, again, that they have kind of a vintage vibe, and one of them does, but they're different. They're very different, but that's a good thing. They're definitely worth trying.
Oh, yeah.
And they might be different from what a lot of people are used to, but I think there's something for everyone. Phasalis is the one that everybody loves because it's a nice, warm, sweet, spicy composition, but they're all very different. And if you like sweet, if you like woody, if you like soft and fluffy and powdery, and that's what you'll see from Studio Scent. You will see very different fragrances in each collection. Yes. Something for everyone.
Now, when people get your discovery set, what's a good way for people to decide what's right for them? I know people like to just instinctively say, oh, I don't like this. So you know what I mean? Like they're quick to react.
And some people are quick to react. I know I am sometimes.
Are you?
But you also have to just, what I have noticed with people who are very serious about perfume, they'll put something away and then they'll revisit it and then they'll give it a chance. Mm. They'll wear it. You have to wear it.
Yes.
And there are people who have said, oh, I love Phasalis. I really didn't like Biodare, but then they smelled Biodare again. It's like, you know what? This is really growing on me. I love this rosy scent. I love this. This is
I love Biodare.
Different.
My favorites, yeah.
And so, yeah, with all perfumes, no, you know, don't blind buy, but just give it a bit of chance. Give it a chance.
Wear them again on different days because, you know,
yes,
tied to our mood.
Definitely. And if it doesn't work on your skin, any perfume, if it doesn't work on your skin, spray it on your clothes.
Yeah.
You know, because there are people who like a perfume. They buy it, doesn't work on their skin, but they really like that smell. Don't spray it on your skin, spray it on your clothes, because scent does work differently on textiles. And sometimes it might smell better.
Yeah.
It might be that smell that you hoped was on your skin.
Yeah.
You see.
Good point.
And you can still have it, or spray it on a scarf and tie it around your neck.
Yeah.
Spray it in your hair. You know, skin is not necessarily the last word.
So I always like to ask my guests three questions at the end. And I gave you those three questions, Candace, and I can't wait to hear. I mean, I think I know you a little bit, but maybe I'll learn something new from you today. So I'm excited. I wanted to ask by starting, what's your favorite smell right now? Any smell in the whole wide world?
I want to say, and this sounds kind of strange, babies. I love the way babies smell, partly because in a couple of months, I'm going to be a great auntie.
Yay!
And we're going to welcome a little baby girl into the world. So I'm remembering the smell of babies. And there's also someone who's working with my business partner who just had a baby. And she's a darling little girl. And I just love her. She's a lot of fun. She's still young. She's about 4 months old, but she's still a lot of fun.
They have such a smell, don't they?
They have such a lovely smell. And then citrus blossoms.
Oh.
I love citrus blossoms.
Okay.
You know, lemon, neroli, orange blossoms, petit grain. I love all those blossoms.
Yeah,
and they're still lingering a bit now.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So that's my favorite smell.
Excellent. Love it. How about a favorite scent memory? Can you share any favorite scent memory you have?
I don't have any favorite scent memories, but every time I'm drinking wine and it's that the smell of, I think they call it the lees, which is the sediment at the bottom of the barrel or something. I think that's what it is.
Okay.
And the combination of that with the oak barrel, particularly if you're smelling red wine. I spend a lot of time in the wine country. A lot of my work has taken me up to the wine country.
Oh, okay.
So I'm always going into wineries, and that smell that when you go into a cave that hits you, which is that glorious, rich red wine smell that smells like really concentrated roses to my nose.
Uh-huh.
Combined with the dampness of the barrels and maybe the floor of the cave just really makes me content and feel at ease with the world and reminds me that I have a very good job. I have a great job sometimes. I get to hang out in a winery. Although I'm not partying with these people, I still, it's a beautiful thing that I am constantly exposed to.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and I smell that a lot.
Nice.
And I think that will be more of a memory when I'm no longer doing this.
Right.
Or if for some reason I have to stop drinking wine, that'll be a scent memory of the future.
It sounds like it's already a developing scent memory.
Yes.
It's already, you know, it might not be as deep as something from your childhood, but it doesn't always have to be.
Yeah. Maybe the scent memories of my childhood are those of baking.
Yeah.
Maybe. There's always baking. It's always cookies, always cakes from either grandma or my mother.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. And the last question is, what would you say are five smells that best describe you?
Again, the smells of wineries, the rosy notes in red wine. What else? Citrus blossoms. I really love, I can't describe. And I guess I need to make a citrus blossom fragrance at some point.
I think
I'm going to have to. Yeah. Woody smells.
I hear you.
Cedar and redwood, conifers.
Yes.
I spent a lot of time when I was growing up in national parks with my parents. And there's a lot of, you know, going tromping through the woods.
Yeah.
And I remember quite a lot of redwoods. And I grew up, there was a redwood grove in my backyard as a child in the house that I grew up in. And I was always peeling the redwood bark, the splintery bark off of redwood trees and smelling that dry scratch. It almost smells like the skin that's on nuts, like pecans,
right.
Redwood smell. And so I've always loved woods. I love going to lumber yards or wandering into the lumber section of Home Depot and smelling soft lumber and sawdust. And then paper.
Okay.
Paper is something, not so much old paper or books, but it's just there's certain papers give off certain notes. And I would say the last thing would be powdery violet. And I guess I like powdery violet perfumes. So
they come across in some of your fragrances, definitely.
Yeah, Vissoise is one of the powdery violet.
Yeah, yeah. Excellent. So I have to say I'm surprised that you didn't put anything spicy in. You got a little spiciness to you.
Do I?
A little bit, I think so. This is just an outsider perspective. That's not how you feel.
Is this spiciness or is this cynicism?
No.
There's a difference.
No. Yes, there's a difference, and it's not that.
I like spices. I prefer to eat them than smell them or smell like them. But
no,
you never know that.
You to smell like them. You don't have to smell like them. These are just smells that describe you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, Physalis is a very spicy perfume. But again, like I said, I design for the public. I don't design for me. But yes, spices are very important. I love spices. That's another area of cooking that all my cooking is about spice and flavor. And I just love that.
Mm-hmm. That's a whole nother conversation.
That's a whole nother conversation. Definitely.
Well, I want to thank you for joining me here today, Candace. It's always fun to talk to you. And I'm glad everybody else got to hear you.
Yes, I'm glad I finally got a chance to do this. I'd love to do it again.
Come back anytime. I love having you. And thanks for talking to me about some of the nuances of the perfume industry, especially the artisan perfume industry.
Yeah, we're here. We're going to get to where we want to be, and then we're going to exceed that, I believe.
Thanks for joining me on An Aromatic Life. If you're interested in learning more about your sense of smell from all different perspectives, subscribe to the podcast and invite your friends too. And it would be so helpful if you could rate the podcast so it helps others find it too. I also invite you to check out my website, anaromaticlife.com, where I share lots of information, including my projects around the sense of smell. Until next time, remember to smell everything and have a wonderful day.